Never Will I Die, the inspiring Special Forces soldier who cheated death and learned to live again, is the story of Toby Guttridge. Toby was 24 years old and serving in Afghanistan when he was shot through the neck whilst operating behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. He survived despite not breathing for at least 20 minutes. Back in the UK, doctors recommended his life support machine be switched off, but he pulled through. Now quadriplegic, capable of movement only with his head, Toby has rebuilt his life. It is an inspiring story, and I'm delighted, nay honoured, to be joined live on the line by Toby Guttridge. Toby, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Whereabouts? Presumably you're in the UK. I can see the sun shining through the window, so I presume you haven't, you know, haven't hot-footed it to the Bahamas. So whereabouts in the UK are you this morning?
Yeah, definitely in the UK. We're down in Poole, Dorset. That's where I was based, and that's where I've just lived ever since my injury.
So tell us a little bit about your career and how, what led you into the military, in particular the Special Forces.
It's a bit of a long story, and it starts in South Africa, where I was born and raised, and I was a pretty rebellious kind of kid. I got into a lot of trouble as a kid, and I mean, you can, yeah, the stories are all there in the book about being arrested and doing all kinds of stuff. Anyway, eventually I got to a point where I just knew I needed to do something with my life, so I packed a bag and came over to the UK, and decided to join the Marines, the Royal Marine Commandos, just because I'd heard they were, you know, pretty badass and tough. And I thought, yeah, this just sounds like right up my street. And then from there, I progressed pretty well, and was put forward for Special Forces selection. And I went on to join the Special Boat Service, serving with them. And that's when, unfortunately, on a special ops operation, I was unfortunately shot in the neck, and paralyzed from the neck down.
Those who don't know what the Special Boat Service, or the SBS Special Boat Squadron, excuse me, is, presumably it's not all sort of leaping on and off dinghies all the time.
No, it's a lot more than that. No, there's not a lot I can say, because I'm bound by this Official Secrecies Act, which I signed, but I have been able to write quite a lot in the book. So, the book is where it's all at, and it tells a lot of the sneaky peaky stuff and the stuff we get up to, aside from just the water-based operations, you know. There's a lot of stuff. It's all culminated into one now, so it's pretty good.
You were shot in the neck in Afghanistan. When you got hit, because, I mean, I suppose some of us think, oh, you know, there must be a lot of screaming, there must be, you know, you think, oh, my goodness, I'm hit, whatever, or words to that effect. You described it as you just went over. You didn't, there were no theatricals. It was just, you know, crack, and that was it.
There was no theatricals, as you say, and that usually means it's serious. At least if someone is talking or communicating or even shouting or screaming, at least then you know it's the person's alive. When they just go down and it's dead silence, that's when you know, yeah, it's serious. And the guys have seen enough death to know what it looks like and when it happens. So mine was assumed, well, everyone assumed the worst straight away. And the lads walked over me, cleared the compound, went through, did the job, and then obviously the next team in dragged me out and started working on me and trying to save my life, trying to keep me alive, stemming the blood, looking for a pulse. All these things.
Were you conscious at that point, or were you flat out?
I was flat out. I was gone. Yeah, But the next thing, the only thing I remember is waking up in back in the UK 3 months later, because I was in a coma. I was in a coma for 3 months while they were, you know, trying to keep me alive and loads of surgery and all these things. But it's all, you know, like I said, I talk about it a lot in the book in more detail. It's hard to get it across to your listeners now in a snapshot, but believe me, yeah, it was on the brink, right on the brink of, yeah, as close as it gets. Mate.
You're 23 years old, you're young and you're fit, and you're having, you know, you're doing what you want to do, and then suddenly in a split second, that's all gone. And then you wake up. You wake up in a hospital. I mean, and you know, as I said, and you know, quadriplegic. How do you? I mean, you know, you're a tough guy, Toby. You've been through some tough situations in your training. How do you get your head around the new normal, as the saying goes?
It takes a lot of time. Yeah, it's one thing I've noticed, and it doesn't happen overnight. When I first woke up, you know, I was just trying to survive. I was just trying to get through day to day. I literally was living from day to day, and it was still very touch and go for a very long time. So, building my life back together was extremely, extremely difficult. And, like I said, it took a lot of time, and I went through some very dark, dark moments where, you know, my recovery was really intense, really hard, and it still is. Every day is a struggle. I'm not entirely like, oh, everything's roses now, because it's not. I have bad days. I have really bad days, dark days, and I suffer from PTSD, depression, all these things. But I know I've been given a second chance, and I'm trying to make the most of it. And that's why I wrote the book, and I wanted to get my story out there because I think it'll help a lot of people. And it's just a tremendous story of survival against all odds, really.
There's a thing. A lot of people, when they get seriously injured and have life-changing injuries, as you have, it can be the reaction of family and friends that can be kind of a little bit unsettling. A very good friend of mine has suffered injuries similar to yours, and one of the things that he doesn't like is the fact that people sort of talk down to him as if he's a four-year-old, and he's like, look, I'm still the same guy, it's just that my outward appearance has changed somewhat. How do your mates react, how did your family react, and you know, how frustrating can that be?
Well, my mates, they'll still talk to me as if I, you know, the same as they always did. And they'll take the piss out of me. And you know, they're proper, you know, military lads. They're like, yeah, there's no, you know, being uncomfortable. But you're right. There are people who they don't talk down to you. It's just human instinct, you know. They just don't know how to react in the situation. They don't want to offend you. So, yeah, they've never been in this situation. So they talk to you just as how they think is appropriate. And, yeah, sometimes they can come across as condescending or whatever, but to be honest, you just got to understand this isn't a natural situation, and you have to understand where they're coming from as well. And patience is key. And at the end of the day, just tell them, hey, look, man, relax. It's all good. I'm still the same person. Just, yeah, relax. Because usually it's them who feel more awkward than you.
Mm. How physically difficult was it for you to put this down? You know, being quadriplegic and to write this. I mean, did you was it spoken word? Was it you know, that technology? You speak in dictation software, or how did you?
So I had a ghostwriter who worked with me on the book. Fantastic guy, and we had a dictaphone, and we would record everything. And then go through it again, and then we get it transcribed onto paper, and then we, yeah, just put it into sort of chapter formats, and it took a very long time to write the book, and it was quite a tedious process, and it was ups and downs, quite a lot of highs and lows, writing the book, because it brought back memories that I had totally forgotten about. And some were good memories, some were bad memories. So yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster, if I'm honest. But the book is just, yeah, it's just a great read, and it's a crazy story, man.
you said, you know, this isn't a vanity project. This isn't a look at me, you know, aren't I brilliant? I mean, presumably you hope that people can take something from this and maybe learn from your experiences. And if they're having a tough time, maybe some of the stuff that you've picked up can help them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the main reason I wrote this book. You know, it's not about trying to build a career off the back of it or become some sort of, I don't know, film star or whatever, or get some sort of fame off it. It's purely about, you know, helping others, learning, well, taking what I've learned and passing it on to future generations and trying to help others. You know, the story goes on to how I rebuilt my life from scratch, literally from scratch. And the book talks about the things I learned and how to do that, how to, you know, rebuild yourself when the chips are down, when it's really tough. And it is possible. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park, but what I can say is that it is possible. You just have to, yeah, learn from others, to take on board what others are telling you, put it all together, and stay positive, man. Life's precious, I think, and that's one of the key messages of the book. You know, it's life's precious.
So yeah. What? I mean, apart from appearing on radio shows like this one, what are your plans? What are you thinking long term?
I went back to university, and I was before my injury, I was all my identity was built on being a physical, outdoors person, and I had to change to being quite intellectual and using my brain, which for a Marine is pretty tough, let me tell you. but I managed it, and it just shows you what's possible if you put your mind to it. Mm. And so I went back to university. I've got a business degree now, first class honors degree. And now I've started my own company called Bravery. It's a fantastic extreme sports brand, apparel and equipment. You can find it at bravery.org.uk. It's a really cool website. Check it out. And that's what I'm doing now. And it's a brand with a message, you know. It's a brand with, yeah, it's really, it's got more than just, it's a message in the way that it's, I don't know, people can be proud to wear it and go out there and live your dreams, man. Go out there and just go out there and live your dreams, kill it, do whatever it takes, man.
Tell me about the front cover of this book, because was that tattoo, is that a real tattoo you've got on, or is that some Photoshop?
Yeah, no, that's a real tattoo. That's my mantra. I've had that mantra since I was a kid. We used to say it when we were up to no good, when me and a buddy, when we were up to, you know, causing trouble. We
hijinks, yeah. Toby, hijinks, I think we'll call it, yeah?
Yeah, and it's just stuck with me throughout my life. And it was just such an appropriate thing to get tattooed on me. I just live by that mantra, and it basically stands for never give up, never stop trying, just give it everything you got, and see where you end up, man, because that's what life's all about. It's the journey, man, not the destination.
If there's somebody listening today, and we've got quite a few ex-Royal Marines who are listening, and I know that one as well, good morning to you.
Shut up.
People have been through tough times, you know, what with this, that, and the other, as we refer to it. I mean, what would you say to anybody who is struggling, who is having a tough time at the moment, who is thinking, I can't, you know, I can't do this today?
Like I said, it's a continual process, and you just have to take it one step at a time, one day at a time. And, you know, yeah, you will have highs and lows, but the sun will rise tomorrow, man. You just have to just stay positive, stay keen, stay sharp, and keep going, keep going. Never give up. Never say die. And yeah, it'll turn around. It's just, yeah, you know the saying, when you're going through hell, just keep going, man. Just keep going.
The book is called Never Will I Die, The Inspiring Special Forces Soldier Who Cheated Death and Learned to Live Again. It's by Toby Guttridge, who we've been speaking to today. Toby, go on, plug the brand one more time. You've got 30 seconds of airspace. Go for it, mate.
Cheers, mate. The brand I've started is Bravery. It's on the internet, www.bravery.org.uk. You can find it on Instagram, bravery_UK. And then if you want to follow me, you can find me on Instagram as well, Toby_Guttridge_official. And you can follow my personal life and my challenges. But absolutely fine. The book, it's on Amazon, Never Will I Die, and it's on Waterstones. So go on to Amazon, go on to Waterstones, check it out, and buy the book, man. You won't regret it.
Absolutely not. And also, it's going to be a download even quicker. People can go straight away and download it from our own virtual bookstore. And the money goes to you. Don't know. We're not skimming a few pounds off you, Toby. Don't worry about that. Toby begs the question, if there's a Toby Guttridge official, is there a Toby Guttridge unofficial with all the other stuff on it?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Brilliant. This book is called Never Will I Die. It's by Toby Guttridge, who we've been speaking to today. Toby, it's been an absolute honor to speak to you this morning, sir.
Appreciate it, Charles. Thanks for having me. And cheers, man. I really appreciate all the help.